Father's Day, no exasperation zone. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, just one verse there, verse 4. When I was a boy, I asked my dad what those signs along the road meant where they had the name of a town and then numbers. I said, Dad, what's that for? And he explained to me that those were the baseball scores from the day before. I hear Platteville trounced Longmont 24-7. I appreciated my dad cluing me in on that, but I marveled as time went on. They always won by the same score every time we were. And along the same line, he explained to us that watch for falling rock. There was an old Indian chief who had lost his son, Falling Rock. And he had posted these signs in various places, and he was asking us to help him find his son. And so, of course, when we were going through these areas as little kids, we'd have our noses pressed up against the windows, searching the hills and the valleys, trying to help the old chief find his son. We learn a lot from our fathers. Not all of it is helpful. Some of it applies in the moment he's teaching, and a lot of it doesn't really even make sense until later in life. This morning, we're going to talk about the way we communicate truth to our kids, our own personal style of parenting. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. God, we're asking you for help this morning. Everybody here is on a journey. We're at some point on that journey, as Ray mentioned. If you have kids or grandkids, some have great-grandkids. Some are kids themselves. Wherever we're at, God, feed us from your word, male or female. Give us something we can take with us and use. I was thinking this morning as we were in prayer how marvelous words are. Words change everything. Words can cause a war to erupt. Words can bring peace. Words can change a person's character. They're amazing. Use your word this morning, God, to change us, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's contrasting two different distinct methods of training children. Do not exasperate, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Kind of an interesting concept, don't you think? Training a child. You ever try that? Training a child. Think about it. When we get our kids, they're absolutely useless. Absolutely helpless. They can't do anything. As squall and squeal, of course. But they're a blank slate needing instruction on everything human. You're going to teach them how to walk. You're going to teach them how to talk. You're going to teach them how to behave. They'll learn to like the foods you eat, speak words you say. Consciously and subconsciously, they're going to mimic everything you do. So the first step to rearing a child, bringing them up, training them, is to be. Be what you want them to become. Not everyone wants to be a mentor, but you are. Somebody is following in your footsteps. So live as the person you want them to become. Like it or not, you're training your child. They're listening, they're mimicking, they're becoming. They'll do what you do, at least until they're old enough to sort it out. And for some of them, it'll take years of therapy to get them out of the condition they're in, following in our footsteps. By the time they're grown, behaviors can be so well entrenched, it'll take a great deal of effort on their part to change their thinking, to change their behavior. Knowing you're a trainer, choose your methods, pick your tools. Okay, I'm being watched. What do I want them to see? Choose your goals as well as tools. What do I want them to become? What do I wish for them? What do I hope? Not choosing is a choice with sad consequences itself. So the two styles of fathering Paul contrasts here are exasperating versus training and instruction of the Lord. You can frustrate your kids, or you can help your kids. That first category is slipshod. It's dad-centered. It's egocentric. I'll live as I please. That second category is child-focused and God-conscious. God, what are we doing here? Why did you give me this child? Why these qualities? In fact, you'll find that the very things that frustrate you most about your child are the very things God is going to use in tremendous ways. You have to survive it. You have to learn. You have to guide it. But it can become such a blessing later in life. Let's talk source for a moment. The exasperating dad has only himself as a guide. How he feels, what he thinks, what he wants. He is the guide. He is the master. He is the source. He might say things like, well, that's how I was raised. Ah, he'll get over it. He'll figure it out when he gets older. I'm too busy to be bothered with wiping noses and playing games all the time. Exasperated dad's only concerned with how he's feeling, how it affects him. He can be a good dad when he feels like it, but he can be so aloof at other times. He entertains himself with his child rather than helps his kids become productive adults. He disciplines in order to make his life better. Shut up, I'm trying to think. Didn't I tell you to sit still until I'm ready to go? What were you thinking? The exasperating dad thinks this verse ought to read, children, don't exasperate your fathers. And I wonder why God picked on us men as being the exasperating ones. Everybody knows that's not us, right? Maybe. There is this little part of us, we kind of like to be mischievous. We kind of like a little shock and awe every once in a while. Get their goat, get them thing. And that, I guess that has to be guarded. That has to be tamed. Things we think are funny aren't always good. And so maybe a word of caution there is appropriate. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. The other source, the preferred source of training a child, is training and instructions of the Lord. So there's another mind at work here. It's not just me. It's not just you. Of the Lord. God help us parent. Amen. Have you ever been there? You thought you knew plenty? Surely at 40 years old, you know a seven-year-old. You've got some years on him. You've got some experience. Think again. Things come up. Stuff happens. Oh, God, help me. The good news is it was designed that way. Life is designed to bring us back to God, back to God, back. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. What do I do with this? As a father, you may have celebrated the day you were done with diapers. Hallelujah. Then there's grandchildren. It seems to come back around. It seems to go on. Well, this is how it's done right. Instructions of the Lord. There's intentionality there. Now, as a man, and guys, maybe you're like me, I have a natural aversion to instructions. I don't like being told what to do or how to do it. I don't even like booklets that tell me how to do it. I like to lay everything out, and so I see all my pieces and my parts. I like to see a logical progression, and then I determine just how much of those instruction sheets am I going to have to look at, and hopefully it won't be any. And I get started in my project, and only when I get stuck do I refer back to those. And I don't know if you've ever bought any furniture from IKEA. Oh, man, I tell you what, you need those instructions. There is nothing that makes sense about the pieces, parts that come with those things. I think somebody was messing with men when they came up with, I think it's a foreign plot, Indonesia or someplace like that. Many times I've looked at these instructions. You know what the first line of every booklet is? Please read and follow all instructions. That's not. I say to myself. And I look for that specific part of what I think I'm going to. It's amazing how much you got to read through before you get to what you needed, you know. This could be hazardous. That could be. Where's the good part? But we can't apply that method to raising kids. I'll get to the instructions when I need them. Please hear this. This is the most important thing I'm going to say all morning. You can zone out after this, but catch this. Your child's best shot at becoming a productive, happy adult is for them to find God early and follow Him for themselves. That's the whole key to life. They were created by God and for God. And if you allow other things to fog that, if your whole goal is, I want to see them rich, I want to see them, you know, famous, I want them to do well in life, you're fogging the issue. If you're willing to trade Sunday school for soccer, if you're willing to trade youth group for whatever, you're losing it. You're off track. You misunderstand what life is all about and how it's to run. Your child's best shot at becoming a productive, happy adult is for them to find God early and follow Him for themselves. I heard somebody say on the radio the other day that you need to prioritize church for your child's sake. Sure, there will be times when they're not interested. They don't want to go. They this, they that. But more than likely, they said, the time will come when they will thank you during their adult years that you did that for them. That you made church, that you made God a priority in your life. Raising them as you see fit, then sprinkling in a little bit of God here and there, it's not going to cut it. So you must become what you want them to be. Love church, love God, make it a priority in your life. They're following in your footsteps. Show them the way to go. Read your Bible every day, Dad. Be a man of prayer, or become a man of prayer. Get over whatever obstacle there might be. Well, you don't pray in front of your family. You don't pray. Maybe your wife is a real good prayer or whatever. You need to pray. I was sharing this story with somebody just the other day. There was a fella by the name of Greg who used to come to church many years ago when we were in our old building, as a matter of fact. He passed away since then, kidney disease or something. But I was just new to the church myself, and he said, Pastor, one thing. He said, please don't ever ask me to pray. Don't ever call on me to pray. And I said, okay, I'll honor that. And I was sitting in adult Sunday school class one day, and the Sunday school teacher looked out across, and he said, oh, Greg, would you open us in prayer today? And I was, oh, don't ask Greg. That's a rule. I should have told him the rule, and Greg's never going to come back to church again because, you know, Greg doesn't like to pray. And Greg prayed out, it wasn't an Our Father, and it was such a simple, rugged, it was a beautiful prayer. It was a great prayer. I couldn't wait till after Sunday school that I could tell. You told me you couldn't pray I told you I don't want to pray in public, you know. And guys, you have a language. Your child hearing you relate to God as only you can. That's important. So at the table before a meal, maybe you don't pray before a meal in your house. Shock them today. Just shock them today. Take that step and pray. When your kid is sick, pray for that. Get over whatever obstacle, whatever speed bump there is. Yeah, you're praying in your heart, or you might say to them, yeah, I'm praying for you, or what. That would be a step too. But go ahead, open up your mouth and pray. You pray like no one. Your fingerprint is different. That you pray like no one else. You may even have picked up a few lines from somebody else. Nobody else has picked up the same lines you have and shaped it the way you do. The Lord loves to hear you pray. And your kids need to know you look to God. You're on a first name basis with the Lord. If they're going to love God, if they're going to follow, they need to hear you pray. It would be great if they know you know the Word. Throw out a Bible verse every once in a while. You know, the Bible says. I often do that when I'm, for me, it's just natural. I want it to be natural for you too. I'm talking to my kids. They've got a problem. I say, well, you know, the Bible says. You know, the Bible says. You know, the Bible says. Boom, 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 boom. We're planting seeds there. What's my source? It's the Lord. And I want it to be your source too. You know what the Lord says about this? You would take a bullet for them. So go ahead and pray in front of them. It's one of the most heroic things that you can do. Make church a priority in your life and for your family. Make your heartfelt goals for your kids biblical goals. What does God want with this individual? You know, we dedicate children, we bring them in, hand them over to the pastor, I kiss them on the forehead, we ask Jesus to bless them all their life. We give them back to you, God. There are some babies I've dedicated, I haven't seen the family since. Dude, that's sad. That's really sad. Make your heartfelt, what do I really want for God, what do you want for them? A lot of times, even though your goals are godly, they're not God's goals. You may want them to become, what does God want them to become? Follow the leading of the Lord. If you're cheering hard hits, man, you really sucked them. Good job, buddy. If you're cheering good grades, but you're rolling your eyes at memorizing scripture, buddy, you got it wrong. Here's a way to start. Go ahead and Google most popular Bible verses and just share one every once in a while. Here's a good one to start with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Start with that one. It's a great one to have in mind, in heart. John 3:16 ought to flow from your lips every once in a while. And there are others. Just go ahead and Google. And maybe that would be a great, you know, before you eat, just, hey, I got a verse for you today. Bing. Here it is. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be all drawn out. Find the heart of God for your kids. What are their gifts and talents? However many kids you've had or grandkids, you'll find that each one is different. Each one is unique. I see my job as a grandpa to be a cheerleader, to point out in them what they do well. Boy, I really like the way you're good at that. And that will help to develop them, their gifts and their talents. Pray for your kids, not just when they're hurt or in trouble, but bless them. Maybe before they get on the school bus every day, teach them to pray. Teach them to pray at night. The exasperating father, he's just trying to get through the day. He's so busy. He's so tired. He's so stressed. Can't you keep the kids quiet for a while? The godly dad is raising godly people. They're kids now, but so soon they'll be adults. Can those my age say amen? And then they'll be replaced by my dad calls my son Joel. My son's name is Josh. My dad calls my grandson Parker Josh. He's just one generation behind, you know. And he's done that for forever. So, you know, which is really good for me because Josh often takes trips back to Pittsburgh just to help my dad. So I know I'm getting the credit for all that. Hey, Joel. And so it's all good. Yeah, they're kids now, but soon they'll be adults. If we launch them and they're still only half-baked, they're still squishy inside, they don't know how to do stuff, it's going to be really hard for them, and it's going to be hard on the world around them. But if we've raised them right, if we've intentionally instilled biblical values into their soul, I don't know why, but during this study, the course that keeps coming back over and over again is the course that Bob and Angie teach on finances. I can't think of I was taught that course by my parents growing up. You got a dime, a penny went to God. You know, we were taught tithing before we cut our teeth. We were taught how to save. We were given a little passbook. I remember passbook savings accounts. You would take that to the bank and, you know, you had so much money in it. And they would teach us, you know, you got some birthday money, that's great. Some of that, you know, some of that goes to God and some of that goes in your savings account and then you can spend some of it. They taught us, you know, about that and stays true to today in us. You train your children. You teach them how to do these things. And it's very sad that children can graduate from high school, go off to college, not knowing how to balance a checkbook, not really knowing how to, I could go on for an hour about colleges and universities. If they're going off to a university and planning on spending $250,000 on an education, something's wrong. So I can't believe they call themselves houses of education and they're fleecing the very ones coming in. But like I said, I could go there for now. You need to train them. You need to teach them so that when they're on the threshold, they're not coming and saying, well, I want to go to Hawaii for college. And, you know, it's only going to come. And I can get a loan. And I can this. And I can. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's older, he will not depart from it. Your kids shouldn't be surviving you. They should be better because of you. Bring them up. What a great phrase. Paul says, bring them up. You bring them up. You have to do something for them to grow. You bring them up. Dad, bring up your kids. Grow them. Stretch them. Teach them. Take them along. That's one of the things I always loved about my dad. He wanted you along. There were four of us kids and had a little Volkswagen, and I know he worked hard all day, and he had to go to the hardware store or the feed store or something. He said, hey, who's going with me? And if we balked on it, oh, come on, now one of you needs to go along with me. He loved having us along. And that speaks to me. I'll be 62 in another week or so. Still speaks to me. Dad wanted me there with him. They won't want to learn if they're just watching. Put a tool in their hand. Show them how it's done. Zing. Yeah, that's what it feels like when 110 volts goes through your body. It'll give you a zing, but it won't kill you. It's okay. And you learned a good lesson there, didn't you? Don't cross those wires. My dad was never one for pulling out the fuse or breaking the breaker. It won't kill. But, you know, bring them up. Bring them up. I remember Jack Cashman. You know Jack Cashman? He said, yeah, his dad taught him the same way. And he was up on a ladder, an aluminum ladder, changing the fixture, and he got knocked right off the ladder. He said, not everything dad teaches you, you know, but it's good that they take you along and they're trying anyway. I don't have all the answers. We haven't heard all the questions yet. It's amazing what life will throw at you. You think you saw it all, you have not. Especially in this day and age with social media and such. Yeah. The questions, they come out of nowhere. Circumstances are thrust upon. Hey, Dad, I've got a science project. We need to figure out how this happens. What? Didn't they have any easier ones? Oh, yeah, but I thought this would be a great one. I knew you would know. Lesson number one, don't just cry. Cry out to the Lord. Lesson number two, let everyone in your family know that you're crying out to the Lord. That way, when the answer comes, you can gather them around and say, isn't God good? Didn't he help? How did we do this? We prayed. We asked God for help on this one. Every week, every day, the questions will be different. But the process is the same. Pray. 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 When you blow it, and you will, repent. Tell your kids you're sorry. Tell the wife you blew it. Repent. Do it different from then on. Stick to your guns when necessary. Punt when you need to. This isn't about looking good. This isn't about our ego or our pride. It's about getting them ready for life. In fact, if you put you last, they'll grow up admiring the man that you are. Know that God is always ready to help you get a new start, a better grip. Dad, you ever been frustrated? Dad, you ever been turned inside out? God is there to help. Our kids had colic. We didn't sleep for 7 years. And I remember one time in Shanksville, Josh was just a baby. And we would take turns, Barb and I, being up with the baby. It was continual. In fact, we had a little chart. We'd put our initials there to prove we were up last with the baby. And sometimes the other would argue, no, 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 and we'd have to take them over, show them the chart. No, it's your turn. And there was one particular night. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. We were both up with the baby because we both needed to be up with the baby. Neither one of us had what it took to be alone with this child, and everybody survived the night. If you've not been, I had always been so upset, you know, child abuse, so on and so on. That night, I understood child abuse. I really did. My nerves were so frayed. I could have opened up that front door and launched that baby out into traffic. There are those days. But my son is such a fine young man, and he has such beautiful little kids. I'm so glad I didn't act on impulse. I didn't follow through with how I felt. And I know it wasn't just Joel and Barb holding that little squealing baby that night. God was in the room too. And he helps us. And he helps us. The school calls and your child is in trouble. God will be with you there too. He helps us. He helps us. My advice this morning is do the next thing. Already reading your Bible? Pray in front of your family. Already doing that? Maybe take a page out of your daily bread and just read it to the family every once in a while. Or that scripture. Google a scripture and say, hey guys, this is a good one. Or take one from your morning devotions. You know what I was reading just this morning? This. I think it would be good. Would you stand with me this morning?